Welcome to the Maker's Moment podcast. This is the place to learn from other creatives, hear what they're doing, apply what they're doing to your lives, and maybe get something out of it while you are in the middle of it. Today is a super cool treat. I have my friend Demarie Watts stop in and able to interview him a little bit. And apologies on some of the clipping on my mic. It's just the nature of the beast. But anyways, I'm super excited to have him in here. He's just an overall designer. He does everything from music to fashion to web design. This guy is a true person that I want you guys to get to know. He's on Instagram at the Nashville Man, so you guys can stalk him while we're listening here. But yes, super grateful to have had him on the podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this as much as I did.
What's up?
Mari is a friend of mine.
I am.
All around good dude.
Some would say.
And I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Dude, so tell the audience real quick what happened.
What happened when?
I don't know.
Well, if you're referring to what I think you're referring to.
I am.
This is actually our second time recording this podcast. So you're getting you're gonna get the same information, but this will be the first time you've ever heard it. It'll be the second time that I'm saying it, so it'll be different.
But it'll be better. I mean, you have a chance to refine.
You're right, but only we will know if it's better or worse.
That's true.
Than the last one, because no one else will ever hear it. Because why don't you tell people why they will never hear it?
Let's just say that on some devices, I was wrong.
Podcasting is hard.
I mean, here's the thing. You hit the button once and you think it's recording. It wasn't doing so. So now, you know what? I brought in the actual equipment here.
And I hope that this is recording. If you're hearing this right now, then that means it's working.
I mean, I see it working.
Yeah.
You see this? You see
those waves? Last time I thought I saw something, so I don't know what I'm looking for.
I just want to apologize to you, the audience. No, I'm super pumped to have Demarie here. I've been loving getting to know you and been spending time on projects here at work, but also working on stuff outside of work. And really quickly,
it's a lot of work.
It is, but it's also, is it though?
I don't know.
Just depends.
Yeah, depends on what you're doing.
I mean, I don't think it's work.
If you're having fun.
I'm having fun. Sometimes it's work.
Yeah, sometimes it's work. Sometimes even setting up things that are fun is work for me.
No, like, I think that's its own. Like, sometimes if it requires a lot of setup, I won't do it.
Yeah, I love ideas. And then I'm like the person who comes up with an idea. And the Bible talks about, like, before you go and raid somewhere or build a house, won't you sit down and
I don't recommend raiding somewhere these days, but I do love the Bible. So.
Yeah. So it talks about, like, if you're going to go build a house, won't you first sit down and see if you have what you need to do it?
It's true.
I am the biggest culprit of not sitting down and seeing what it takes to
calculating the cost.
Yeah. I never count the cost. I'm just like, ooh, idea. Let's do this.
But I think that's important for you having self. I mean, it's great that you know that about yourself.
I just learned it yesterday. That's what I was.
Oh, dang. Budget time.
Yeah. I'm starting to realize things. Anyway, what were you saying?
No, I think just riffing off of that, like, I think that for me, music is a huge area where I feel that, because the difference between actually taking all of my gear, doing a setup somewhere, versus just having that already set up at the house or whatever, you know, in the studio room of the house. Like, I think, like, that's the first place. If it's not set up in the music room, even though I might feel like I'm ready to record a song, if it's not set up, sometimes that like is the opposite sensation that I'm trying to lean into, and it'll completely kill it.
Oh yeah, the vibe's dead. Yeah,
but the thing is, like, I don't feel that. I don't feel that it's ever easy for me to ever. Yeah. So, I mean, your options is either A, you never do anything.
Yeah.
Or B, you just bite the bullet.
Yeah, I think that, like, that goes to show if an idea is really worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the Bible talks about it, is because once you sit down and count the cost and you're like, okay, this is what it's going to take. Do I really want to do this? Yes. If I don't, then move on to the next one. If you're just looking for something that's super easy, then okay, I'll find something really easy to do, or that's like even a lower lift. So maybe there's a bunch of things that I want to do, but I know that this one thing in particular will take this amount of time and this amount of resources versus these other little things, like you always talk about, like we talk about low hanging fruit here a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so looking at like, okay, there's these other things that I can do that maybe can set me up for this bigger thing, but are still fun and they will help to get me to the point where I'm more ready to do the other thing. So I think it's just kind of how you think about it.
Like for me, I notice that I always like it's if the setup is done or like if someone else can come in and help me on the setup.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times, like is there any situation that you can think of maybe that you do regularly where it would require a lot of setup, but you can bring in another person to help you do it, or have brought in another person to help who just freaking loves.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's usually my approach to everything is I'm like the guy who loves the internet, loves looking up how to do things.
Yeah.
And if I can find someone else who's done it before or done something similar, then I will go to that person and ask like, hey, what did you need to do? Like even with you, like I came to you about the podcast thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey man, like what to you and to Chris, I'm just trying to figure out what do I even need to do to start?
Yeah.
You know? And so that's a part of the counting the cost thing for me, I guess. It's just bringing in other people who have already started doing it or have had success doing it. Like I've done that. I did that with like Instagram. I asked people about that. People who had a ton of followers. I'm like, hey, how did you get to this? How did you do this? I always go back and like look at if I drop on someone's Instagram page that I admire, I go all the way back to the beginning. And then I just kind of, it sounds creepy, but at the same time, if you think about Instagram, if someone's been on it for a long time and they're successful, it's almost like a documentation of how they grew
totally
to this successful point. So I go all the way back to the beginning and look at some of their first posts and try and see like when did shifts happen, when did changes happen.
Like you can almost see the inflection point, like when stuff shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they start implementing something. You started seeing a new style of image pop up.
Yeah. And it even gives me like a timeline of like, okay, this person's been doing this since 2012. It's now 2018. So it's going to take me about 6 years to maybe 6 years at max to get to this level or minimum, you know, depending on how hard I grind and depending on how hard they were grinding it out. So even if I'm not like if someone's rarely do people just approach me like, hey, Damari, I noticed that you were doing this. I want to help you with that. Like I've got to like search for people.
Right.
And I think everyone does, you know.
It's hard. Like I feel like that's all part of like growing your network of people too. Like with, you know, like I feel like it's like you nailed it on the head. Like very rarely has someone just specifically when you're starting out with something and you're trying to build that brand and that network of people, you're trying to get to the place where people are seeing your stuff and going, oh, I heard you got this new thing. I want to help out with that on. Where we're very much in that spot where we're building brands from ground zero, you know, and like maybe don't. I know I don't have that network of people who are like, man, you know what? I saw you doing this, and like, here I am right here. I'm gonna help you. What do you need? You know what I mean? Like, because I don't have the leverage. I don't have the leverage to maybe.
Like, hey, I noticed you were working on something. I wanted to give you this.
No, I mean, I feel
it doesn't
like
it happen.
No, because you don't have the leverage yet. You don't have the. I don't have the leverage to be able to say like, yeah, come and help me. And if you help me, then that's going to give you up somewhere else. Or you know, we're in the process of establishing that brand from ground zero.
Definitely.
Like, it's hard in starting out. You know,
it is.
So, you do a lot of different things.
I do.
You do design.
Mm-hmm.
Fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Dance a little bit.
That was not professionally, but yeah.
I don't know what point people go, I'm a professional dancer. Like, do you go to an academy named like...
Maybe.
Professional Dance Academy?
Well, I guess. I feel like, you know, if I put it in my Instagram title, then I'm a professional.
Yeah, but there that's it is. Such baloney. That's like, but that's the same thing to being like, just because I put it in my Instagram title that I'm a...
No,
I'm a singer.
I'm just kidding.
I'm totally
kidding.
I'm an entrepreneur. So it's nice.
Oh yeah, but once I put once I put dancer in my Instagram description title, then that's when it's more official. But until that point, we don't mention that on podcast.
The boy like dancing emoji.
Yeah, don't put it on the podcast until that point. But right now, I am just doing all the things.
That's awesome, man. So one of the things that's always kind of draw me to talk to you about different things happening. I feel like you're one of those guys who understands what's happening in culture, in music, in design, and I feel like that's those are valuable views and standpoints because I feel like it's oftentimes you know people who have a vision for where the future is going that are kind of able to I don't succeed in where things are right now. That's the kind of people that I love to be around and be able to align with, because number one, there's positive vibes coming out because you're hopeful about the future. But then there's also like a real like humility about learning and learning how to grow in that situation.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is like right now you and I are like, are the place where we are still growing into that part of ourselves of creating culture and stuff like that. And so we're so young in this, man. Like I graduated school like 2 years ago and I'm not super young, like I'm 29, but I still feel like I haven't really accomplished anything.
Totally, yeah.
But it's exciting to be on this podcast because I feel like this could serve as a point in the future where people can look back, you know, like I do on Instagram, go back to the first post that someone has ever had, where they can look back and be like, man, these guys were on this podcast doing this thing. Like, listen to this, you know?
For sure. No, I mean, it's like there's two flip sides, right? Like one is like, oh, they started with this. And then there's also where it's like, these are the good old days. Like there's so much upside from this vantage point where we stand now. And I mean, I wouldn't look at you and be like, oh, Damari hasn't done anything at all. Cause I feel like, to, you know, like looking at your work and like, I mean, you've been hustling, you've been going out at some time.
Yeah. He's right.
For sure. I think that, dude, I think that's huge. I think that, like I said, there's these attitudes in creative space. I think that if you can stay humble and you can stay hopeful about the future, like that stands out to me in the artist space today, because it's almost like a selflessness in the humility of like being hopeful about the future. It's being willing to admit that you don't have it all together, but at the same time, it just creates this vibe that is like, okay, I'm going to watch what they're going to do, because they're not just like looking at themselves or like talking about themselves or trying to make themselves, you know, not trying to just be self-absorbed. I see that a lot in music culture, especially where like an artist is trying to build their brand off of just content about themselves. And so like no one wants to hear about that. And therefore their brand never goes anywhere, cause they're just trying to build a content bank on themselves. And like, and I feel like that's that, like, I'm not drawn to that. So I'm drawn to your positivity there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. But like, as you guys know, audience listening, like I like to ask guest questions just to kind of hear some of their hacks, insights, and those kind of things. But before we dive into that too much, what's a quick origin story for you in making things?
Sure. Let's see. Let's dial it back. So for me, one of the earliest things that I can remember doing art wise, when, like, as most people think about art, is just drawing, or coloring and coloring books, man. Like I loved, coloring pencils. I remember I had like a Garfield, coloring book. I remember I even had like Strawberry Shortcake coloring book. But I've got a sister, and so you know. Yeah. But nothing's against, who's against a guy coloring Strawberry Shortcake? What's wrong with that? That exposes you to colors that you wouldn't usually use.
It's true.
You know?
No, it's a different palette.
Yeah. It's like the pinks, the light greens, like, oh my. And then I started to love those colors. I was like, man, these colors are sweet. I was always trying to stick to the colors on the front of the book. Like I would always reference the front of the coloring book as my guide.
Strategy.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I want this to be like, if someone walked in here and Garfield's manager picked up this coloring book, he'd be like, oh man, this kid's got talent. Like
Garfield's manager. I love that you thought that way, though. That's awesome.
I just wanted it to be as professional as possible. And so to have it look like the front of the coloring book was my goal. So I was always looking back to the front.
That's amazing.
I'm like, all right, what color is fur really? What color is her hat? What color is her outfit? I wasn't one of those kids who just made up a whole new outfit color for Strawberry Shortcake. Nothing against those kids. Those kids are mad creative, but I was more like, okay.
And I can just see it now. We're talking like the kid who's coloring but has like the hard lines around the whole edge, like a nice shade fade.
That's exactly what it was. And that's why I liked coloring pencils too.
Yeah.
Because I could have that crisp like red line and then like a nice, a smooth red tone on the inside.
Definitely.
Dude, it just looks so sweet. It makes me want to go back to coloring like that. And I've done some stuff kind of like that in later work, but nothing like that. It's always nice to get back to just drawing, or not drawing, just coloring, like doing something the way that you did it as a kid, because it brings back those old memories and that old like tactile feeling of like it puts you back in that space of creativity.
Totally. I think, man,
in innocence.
Dude, I love that. I think that, like, for me, when I was you know, same age as coloring, we used to have a pool supply place next door, but the warehouse side of the pool supply place, you know, where they would put
pool
like
supplies.
Pool supplies. They would do pool fencing. They would do, they'd sell like brushes and like all the stuff that you'd need to take care of your pools is in Florida.
There you go.
And so we live right next to this place and they sold pool fencing, like what you would put around to like security perimeter fencing, but it was wood, like a wood style fencing. And so right next to my house, right up was like their warehouse side where they would throw all the stuff they didn't need. And so being like into skateboarding when I was 8 and 9 years old, like, I just jumped the fence and like steal all this wood. Like, I mean, it looked like it was just laying there. So, but
you're like, yeah, it's just laying there inside of these fences.
Yeah,
it's gotta be free.
But I mean, we would take crates and like build bike ramps and all this junk out of it. But sometimes I like to just like, I build ramps. I love that. Like, because it's just back to that, like, okay, I've got these things. How do I get back to that place where I was creative as a kid? Or
it was probably like the most makeshift ramp ever too.
Oh,
like,
dude.
In my mind at first, it was like a very professional ramp. I was like, oh man, he was building that. And then I was like, wait a minute.
No, 8 year old boy ramp. Get out of here, dude. You know how many times I snapped that wood? Cause there was no support under there. It was like wood, just straight Napoleon Dynamite, bro.
Straight up. Oh my God.
Straight up.
That's hilarious.
And then you iterate and you figure it out. But so yeah, man. So you've been making things a long time. What was the first stuff you used to like actually design with? Like, at what point were you like, oh man, I could use this to be a designer?
Well, I don't even know if I would say that I've been making things a long time. I think the coloring experience was like, I just loved doing that. I did that, but I didn't look at it as, oh, I'm creating something. Like, no one nurtured that kind of creative mentality in me. Like, my mom doesn't, she's not an artist or anything like that, or doesn't consider herself an artist. And no one in my family really does. And so that wasn't the thought when I was coloring. It was just something for me to do as a kid. Like, I wish sometimes that I had parents who were like, oh my gosh, you're an artist. Here you go. Here are all these things. But that just wasn't the case. So it was just a little side hobby as a kid. And then when I got to like middle school, high school, I would draw on the tables sometimes. And again, like, that was seen as wrong. You know, the teachers, like, a teacher pulled me aside and he's like, you need to stop drawing on the table. Like, I've had to erase it so many times off this table. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you clean these tables. My bad. And so from there, the time where I started to actually look at myself as a creative or a designer or anything like that was when I decided to become a graphic designer. Like, I wanted to, and that stemmed from me having an idea and wanting to start a clothing brand and trying to figure that out and trying to navigate that space. So a lot of things for me just start with, I have this idea. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. I try and talk to people to figure out how to do it. If they don't want to help me, then I try and figure out how to do it on my own. And that's how I became a graphic designer, is that I hired a woman to make a logo for my clothing brand that I was starting in like 2011. And she made it. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. She redid it. I paid her like $150, which I guess is kind of cheap for a logo now looking at it. But it was a terrible logo, so it makes sense why it was cheap. And if she's listening to this, I'm so sorry. The likelihood of her listening to this, though, is not very high. She's like an older woman, so she's not in your demographic.
Karen.
Yeah, that may have been her name. I don't know. But she made it, and then I was like trying to figure out how to do other things to it, and I like sent her an email like, hey, what do I need to use? Like, can you help me to understand how to do this? She never got back to me, so I was just like, okay, well, how can I do this? So I like talked to my mom. I'm like, hey, I want to go back to school. I was out of school for a semester. I was like, I want to go back to school. I want to be a graphic designer. She's like, all right. So we got it all set up.
It's amazing.
Got me into some classes.
Chip on his shoulder from day one, bro. Like, this girl didn't write me back. I paid her money.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to school.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. I don't need you.
Yeah, I don't need you. So, I'm going to go to school.
So she's probably, I mean, she's not salty, but she helped me. She propelled me
she
forward.
She gave me that
by,
chip. I mean,
by not giving me answers.
You're here.
Yeah, like, I'm just that curious guy and that guy who wants the answers that bad,
yeah,
and wants to figure out how to do something that I'll just go after it. So that's what got me started in the creative field, is wanting to do something, coming up with an idea, loving fashion, thinking, if I had my own clothing brand, what would it be? Trying to go after that idea. And then after it wasn't going the way that I wanted it to go, figuring out another way to make it happen. Yeah. Until now I'm a graphic designer and I work as a web designer. So I don't really know how things, like, things just like shifted moved as time went on. But I'm
step
still...
one, get a chip on your shoulder. Step two, do it.
Yeah, do something. Like, take, just start
take
moving.
Some sort of action,
yeah,
like some sort of steps.
I just started moving, and now I'm here, like living my best life right now. To where I don't have to create a clothing brand, but I can.
Yeah.
Because I have the resources to do it. You know.
You still want to do that?
Heck yeah, I still want to do
mean,
it. That chip's on my shoulder.
I know.
This is what got me started, man. I'll never let it go until I create one of the best selling clothing brands in the world. I'm not letting it go, man.
Dude,
this is like a Kanye moment. Remember that?
Yeah. So like, so you've kind of done that a little bit, right? You've dabbled in that space at this point.
I am
a good bit. I mean, we're going on 7 years strong. 2011. You're thinking about
well,
this a while.
Well, look. So the success that happened from that is, I went to school. I almost got kicked out of school, out of my design program, because I was just not being a committed student. I also hate school. Like, I'm just not a fan of school and the system, just because I didn't feel like it was really catering to what I needed, my learning style. It was a lot of critiques and this and that, and so I just wasn't a fan of it. My wife's a teacher. She knows my disdain for school. I get tired when I walk into school. I'm like, oh my gosh, what? Like, it just like weighs me down. So I went to school.
I was homeschooled growing up, so now when I get home, I'm like, oh god, I'm just
keep going.
Like, oh my god, I hate school.
I hate this place.
Let me go to school,
dude. I can't imagine.
You're like, oh,
right?
I'm just kidding. Keep going.
So I decided, okay, going to school. Almost got kicked out of school. This is my journey up to from the year spanning from the ideation phase. Almost got kicked out of school. They're like, hey, you can't mess up anymore. You're done. I was like, dang, this seems extreme, but all right, I got it. Another chip on the shoulder right there. So they told me that they liked my work, but that I just needed to step up. And I was like, okay, sweet. At least they like my work. So I'll take that.
It
felt good.
Something.
And then kept going. Failed, got to in design school, you have like a portfolio class. So got to the first portfolio class. There's two. Got to the first one, failed that one. So all my friends went on to the next one or to the senior project, and I had to stay behind and go through it again with another class. So that was disheartening. Ran out of financial aid toward the last semester of school. Like, this is like my last semester of school ever. And I didn't have any more money to go to school. So I'm like, okay, this sucks. So I'm working at Moe's at the time. So I had to, So I had to talk. I literally had to go and talk to the office, the school office. Yeah, I had to finesse this entire situation.
Yeah.
I had to go and talk to the school office and be like, hey, I don't have the money right now. I don't have any money to pay for these classes. What can I do? And they're like, okay, you can talk to your teachers, see if they will let you be in the class and pay at the end of the semester. Like, if they'll let you be in the class without being signed up for the class.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, this sounds complicated. So I'm like, all right, here we go. This is it. Like, I want to do this. I've still got this dream that I'm chasing. Don't really know how I'm going to get done with school. So I go and talk to my teachers. I'm like, hey, look, I don't have the money to pay for this class, but I talked to the office. They said that if I come and talk to you and you agree to let me be in your class on the roll, and you'll have to do some extra stuff, like you'll have to put me into the computer later on at the end of the semester. Essentially, it'll be more work for you.
Yeah.
But if you let me do this, I promise that I will give my best in this class, and I'll pay for the class at the end of the semester. Like, and if I fail, I fail, and I have to pay for this failing grade that I get. So it was like, I had so much skin in the game. The teachers said yes. So the office is on board. The teachers are on board. I then have to talk to my job to make sure that I can work the amount of hours that I need to work so that I can pay for the classes at the end of the semester. So my job, shout out to Moe's, shout out to Luke and Corey who were working there at the time. They allowed me to come to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, leave at maybe 12 or 2. I don't remember exactly the time. Leave at 12 or 2. I went to school from 2 to 5, came back to work from 6 to 10, and then went back to school to do my like homework and projects from like 10 to 12, and then did that every day. And then I finally made it, got all of my stuff done. I don't know that it was my best work ever, but like...
I mean, you were hustling for it.
Yeah, so. Like you hear the situation, man. Like it was, yeah, ridiculous hours. Like I had a buddy who would stay at school with me just so that I would like stay on task and help me out. So it was totally a God thing, but I had to put the work in, you know, I had to put the effort in. And I graduated, made it out. Been working, and then got out of school, got a job immediately after I got out of school, and then got laid off of that job after I got married, then got a job here not too long after that. Yep. So it's been a journey. So the clothing line hasn't been at the forefront of my mind this whole time. There's been points and low points where I've had to just grind it out, you know, like grind it out and get done what I needed to get done. So that I could get to a point where I could at least breathe and have my head above water, so that I could then put some more heart and effort and passion behind some of the dreams that I have. So I feel like I've gotten to that point now where I'm able to pursue the dreams that I have because I put in the work in the beginning. And I'm still I know that I'm still going to have to put in so much more work, but I'm at a place now where I've got the resources to allow me to do the things that I want to do.
Man, that's so good. Dude, I love that part of your story, man. That's super crazy. I think it also shows, like, your tenacity for, like, hey, you're going after this thing. You said you'd do it. Get ready.
Yeah, yeah. And that, like, for all the people listening out there, that is, I hope, the biggest takeaway from that story for me and hopefully for whoever is listening is when you have a dream, even if you don't sit down, if you're like me and you don't sit down and count the cost, know that it's going to cost something. It's going to cost you your time, your energy, your effort, your sanity, your sleep. Like, all of those things are things. It's your pride, your ego. Like I was working at Moe's feeling like, oh my gosh, is this going to be my life? Like, is this going to, and nothing against people who work in Moe's. Like everyone has to do some sort of job, but that's just like in my heart, I knew that's not what I wanted to do.
Right.
And so to be there, to be grinding it out like that, I'm like, geez, I don't want to be doing this for the rest of my life. So that pushed me even more. So just know that it's going to cost something, and it's going to be more than you expected it to cost.
But, and I think that coupled with that is that it's going to cost something. It's going to cost more than you cost, but you are able to achieve it. You are able to get it.
Yeah. And it's fulfilling.
With paying that price, right?
Yeah. And I felt, you can't imagine how fulfilled, like even though I hate school and I don't care for graduation and the whole ceremony and all of that stuff, the amount of fulfillment that I felt and the gratitude that I get when I tell that story, that like I'm grateful that I had that story and that I have that story to be able to be able to share with people, because it makes me more than just someone who says something, you know, like someone who just claims things. Like, no, I actually put in the work that I said I was going to do. Like, I decided I wanted to do something and I had to put in the work, and I put that work in. And this is what I have to show for it now, is this life that I'm living now. And so I think it's just a good lesson for me, and hopefully for whoever's listening, if you want something, you got to work hard for it. And I know that sounds pretty like cliche, but looking back over my life, it's real.
Like, it's a testament to that too. Like just talking about what we were talking about earlier, like, we're working for that now. Like, it's not over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's just a new challenge now.
We're young in this. Yeah. You know? It's like a new challenge. It's a new, maybe a same dream, similar dream.
Yeah, but
it's
same dream, different phase.
Same dream, different phase. Yep. Like, 100%. Kind of on that dream, I do want to talk to you really quickly, too, about, so you're doing fashion. We talked about you're building this fashion brand. Mm-hmm. Like, It's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it's going to happen. How long it's going to take, I don't know. Yeah. I thought I was going to be in school for 3 years. It ended up being like 5 years. So
yeah.
How long it's going to take, how much money or resources or whatever, I don't know all the answers to that, but I know that I'm going to do it to some capacity, you know?
100%. Yeah, so like, okay, we talked fashion, and like that's one thing that I think that really stands out to you. You're building a fashion brand right now around mm-hmm. yourself, the Nashville Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. The Nashville Man on Instagram.
Yeah.
Who knows what else will be coming. As you guys can probably hear from this, I just kind of make it up as I go.
Yeah, so. Dude. No, get out of here. But so you're working on that. Like, one thing I do want to leave the audience with today is hit me with three quick tips
okay.
that male or female, whoever's listening, can take away from you and some things that you've learned in fashion. What are three things someone can do to up their fashion game?
Okay. Big three. Here we go. Number one, I love shoes, so you should also love shoes. No. But shoes are important. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to love shoes, but know that they're important.
Right.
And they play an important role in your overall outfit. So have a good pair of dress shoes and or casual shoes. If you work and live in more of a dressy environment most of the time, then just wear get some dress shoes. Some nice like wingtip shoes or derby style shoes. You can go to ASOS. Like, they've got a bunch of sweet mm-hmm. stuff on there for moderately low prices. If you're going for leather shoes, I would go for actual leather shoes because they're going to age. Thing. Yeah, they're going to age so much better. They're not going to fall apart on you as quickly. And if you're only having one pair of shoes, then you want something that's going to age well. Mm-hmm. And that isn't, you know, a $40 pair of shoes from H&M that's going to fall apart. You know, and you're gonna have to buy another $40 pairs. Why not just invest in a $100 pair of shoes that'll last you for 2 or 3 years? So shoes are important. Pants, I would say, go for just a nice pair of dark denim jeans. You know, you can't ever really go wrong with dark denim dark denim jeans.
There we go.
There you go. We just had to get that out of there. You can never go wrong with dark denim jeans. You can wear them to. I feel like I've worn jeans to weddings. You can wear them to graduations. I don't even know if I wore dress pants to my graduation. I'm pretty sure I wore jeans.
Yeah.
You can probably wear them to bar mitzvahs, baby showers, wherever you want to wear them. Work. Right now I'm wearing black pants, and that's also something you should have. But dark denim jeans are...
But they make dark denim that kind of goes into the black denim. Like, I have some black denim, dark denim.
There you go. Like, I think it's really nice to have a pair of just... dark denim pants. They're super classic. The fit is important, but we can get more into that another time. And then the last thing is just a plain basic white t-shirt or a black t-shirt. Like, right now, if you're listening and you're wanting style advice at a novice level, just keep it super simple. You know, start off with basics, neutral colors, basics being t-shirts, jeans, maybe some sneakers or dress shoes, super casual things, sweaters, you know, just keep it simple. And then if you're at a more intermediate level, that's when you start to add in little bits of flair. You know, maybe you've got pocket squares, maybe you've got a bandana you tie around your neck, or maybe you stick it out of your pocket. Maybe you're wearing denim jackets now, which also denim jackets, that's like beginner, intermediate, and expert. Like, you can do it at all levels.
We've talked about this before, but experts like neon, floral print.
Yeah, like Pharrell Williams.
Jumpsuit.
Yeah, Pharrell Williams is expert level right now. He can just do anything because he's been practicing for a long time. Like, if you look back at Pharrell Williams from the early 2000s or like the late 90s, he was just keeping it super simple. I mean, he was keeping it simple, but he added a little bit of rock flair to it.
Right.
But, like, don't try and jump right into being Pharrell Williams or, like, rock star status. Yeah, like, don't go from 0 to 20,000 on your first date. That's when you're going to get discouraged. Because one thing that comes with taking chances like Pharrell takes is criticism. People are ready to criticize something different or new that they see.
100%.
So you want to just ease your way into it and then start adding some extra little elements on there later.
Dude, so we covered the three tips.
Boom.
The three basics.
Boom.
I feel like that already honestly, like we've talked about this before. I mean, you can't see what I'm wearing today, but I went a little lighter denim.
Oh yeah, which is
basic
nice.
Gray.
And then throw the Vans black on. Shoe.
Yeah, throw the Vans on.
No socks.
But I mean that even that just like throws it back to like, okay, I need to keep it simple. I need to I don't need to worry about this.
Yep.
This thing here. But even just that, I'm telling you, like it's been nice. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it simplifies
it
the
keeps
life.
You casual, man.
Keeps you casual.
Keeps you cash.
Dude, well, before we roll out, leave the audience with something that's kind of rocking your world right now. In terms of, it could be a quote, it could be something that has been stirring around in your brain, it could be a verse, scripture. What's something that that's rocking your world right now?
The thing that is rocking my world is, I think it's in Hebrews. I don't know. Hopefully I don't get like struck down or anything like that from misquoting. Shout out to God. But the verse where it talks about you reap what you sow. Mm. I think that's a huge, like Dave talks about it. You reap what you sow. We live in a sowing and reaping world. And I think we're so removed from it because we don't, like they had, they were farmers, you know, like they saw that clearly, that when you do this action, when you put this in the ground, when you give this effort, then this is what comes about. Like God sends the rain, but you've got to do the action. You've got to put the work in. I feel like it's so easy to forget that you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. You know, that if I want X, Y, Z, then I've got to put in this type of work to get X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or else I won't get X, Y, and Z. And that, like, it's a guarantee. Like, if I do these things, then I'm going to get these results.
Right.
Because that's the world that we live in. That's the universe that has been created around us and for us. Is that if you sow these things, you'll get these things.
Mm. Dude, I love that, man. Dude, well, tell the audience real quick, where do you want them to go right now? Where's the place they can get more of you, Demarie?
You can catch me at Aldi, usually shout out for Greg.
Represent.
Shout out to Aldi.
Shout out to Aldi.
Shout out to my wife who does most of the grocery shopping. Yeah, Target. There you go. But no. You can find me on Instagram at The Nashville Man. I'm taking a break right now from Instagram. And not like when you hear this, I'll probably be off of the break. But I'm just doing like 1 month fast. So that doesn't mean don't go and follow me. There'll be new stuff on there. Yeah. So if you land there and you're like, oh, he hasn't posted anything in a while, that is not normal. I'm usually posting things every week. So this time is also just giving me a lot of time to think about what kind of content
that's
I want to post.
So
there's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming up. Probably see Zach on there. You know, doing some fashion things. Who knows?
Dude, sweet.
But follow me there.
Yeah, awesome.
The Nashville Man.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast. We're definitely going to do this again. I feel like
we might have to
if
this is not recording right now. So.
No, it's on. It's locked this time.
Okay.
No, dude, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Man.
Once again, if you want to check out Demarie, go to his Instagram. You're hearing that again from me. And keep it real.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow.
Keep it simple. Yeah. You reap what you sow.
So
I wish that was my
good.
Quote, but you know.
Jesus.
Yeah. Shout out to Hebrews.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in to the next episode where I might be bringing Demarie back. Just kidding. Take it easy, guys.
Overnight success, that's what they said. If only you could see all of these hard earned